Chris Fedor. What's up, buddy?
What's going on, man? How are you?
I feel like I can't see you as well today.
Huh, I wonder why that is.
I feel like there's an added barrier here. So for obvious reasons, so the COVID barriers, Jeff Phelps put back up.
Yes.
Which is not a problem for me. The man's trying to protect himself. I get it. You're trying to stay healthy. Stay healthy, young man. But
there is something going around out there.
There is. I've heard it's called COVID, but can either confirm or deny that. But the problem is these screens have all sorts of filth and film on them. That I can see the general shape that is Chris Fedor. I know it's you, but for somebody who likes to read people's face and like pay attention and lock eyes during the show, this one's going to be a little tougher today if the barriers stay up.
Are they working as intended when they're that level dirty?
No, I actually think
it feels
they
like it might be backfiring.
Yeah, it might be going the opposite way there, but how are you, bud?
Man, I'm doing really, really well. It's been a good week. I'm ready for the weekend. A couple more days before the weekend, so I golfed the other day. That was really, really nice. Anytime I can get a round of golf in or two rounds of golf in, I just feel better about my life, especially now, when it's the off season.
You don't do what I do, where I claim for several weeks that I just got a round of golf in, but what I really mean is 3 weeks ago I golfed. You don't do that, right? What are the statute of limitations in your golfing?
A couple days.
Couple days?
Yeah.
Okay. Because everything in with where my kids are in their lives and where we are in our lives, everything is a couple days ago or a couple weeks ago in my mind.
Okay.
Like, I just went to the cabin a couple days ago. It was May.
Oh.
Yeah. That's where my brain is. Like, hey, funny thing happened a few weeks back in January. That's where we are, because I very much, at this time of year, especially with football, I'm like McConaughey and True Detective. Time is a flat circle.
Okay.
That's all I got.
I totally get that, though, because, you know, sometimes we have such busy weekends. My wife, my son, the rest of my family, we just get together on the weekends and we do things because Elliot loves to be active. He loves to be out. And then it comes Monday. And then I'm trying to think back on what we did over the weekend. It all just blends together. And I'm like, wait a minute. Was that this weekend? Was that the weekend before? So I totally understand where you're coming from on that.
I always feel like I need a vacation after my vacation.
Oh, without a doubt.
And I always feel like I need a weekend after my weekend.
I need an off season after my off season.
Yeah.
From Cavs, because I'm going to start in 2 weeks or something like that. Training camp's going to hit. Then the season's going to hit. I feel like I didn't do anything this offseason except for be a dad, which is great because during the season is very, very difficult on me because I'm traveling so much. But I had plans this offseason. I had things that I wanted to do. I had events that I wanted to attend and stuff like that. And now I look at the calendar and I'm like, well, wait a minute. Monday was spent with Elliot. Tuesday was spent with Elliot. Thursday was spent with, you know what I mean? So I need an off-season from my off-season. That'd be cool if I could get that job.
See, you know, the funny thing is you're saying about this? Yeah. I'll get home, and Ness usually is off work in between 3 and 5.
Okay.
And I'll come home, and she will have cooked dinner for the kids, and, you know, the kids have got their homework done and all this. And she'll say to me, I didn't really get anything done today.
Oh.
I'm like, you corralled 3 children and made dinner. Winner, winner.
Right.
Like, what are we talking about here? It, like, as if I came home and I'm like, you didn't find a new house for us? hey, Ness, what's this about you not balancing the nation's budget, fussing around with these children? Like, no. You got dinner done, and you got the kids where they need to be so we can just relax in the final moments before they have to go to bed. That is like akin to climbing Mount Kilimanjaro every single night.
See, I've been Mr. Mom all summer, basically. And I think it was a couple of weeks ago. It just got to a point where, because I have Elliot from morning to when my wife gets off work, she came down. She has a work from home job. She came down from her office and I said, babe, shift change. I was like, I am tapping out. I am escaping for a minute here. Because this dude is a hurricane, and he has zapped all of my energy, and I'm probably wearing thin when it comes to the patient's department.
Got to tell you, the greatest thing to learn as co-parenting, whether you're together or not together, is it really is like a pro wrestling tag team.
Yes.
All right, I got nothing left. I need you to tag in.
Yes.
Because if you don't, we're going to lose this match.
That's right.
And usually when you lose the match as a parent, you pay for it in therapy, either a few weeks or a few years down the road. So we are all about the amount of times, especially my Izzy is my doppelganger. Like same wiring, same same like when we get restless, same kind of triggers.
Yes.
And also the same temper.
Yes.
Which is it's not there until it's there.
Yeah.
And then when it's there, it is Vesuvius. Like when we finally get there, and you get about 10 warnings, not with Izzy, but with me, you get about 10 warnings, and then there is no 11th warning. And so what we've done is, there have been times where Izzy, even as young as like 6, was like mad at me, and she's toe-to-toe. So I'm 6'4", she's 3.5 feet tall, giving each other the same look, and Vanessa just gently comes up behind and goes, I got this big fella.
I got it.
Yeah. And it's like,
I'll come in here. Yeah.
Thank you. I'm going to go rediscover those principles that I allegedly live by that I lost for about a 30-second span here.
That's how Elliot is, too. I always say to him, I call him mini-me all the time. And, you know, my parents are around all the time, and they see it, too. And they're like, so my nickname growing up was Toaf. So they're always like, Toaf, now you know what we dealt with you. And I was like, wait a minute. Like, come on, that's not fair. But apparently I was a handful, and my son is a handful, too. So I guess apple doesn't fall far from the tree that the tornado took away from me.
I will tell you, too much of our generation claims that we were the perfect children. So when we look at our kids' actions, we're like, Mom, Dad, we never did this.
No.
Why are they doing this?
Exactly.
And most parents are nice enough just to lie because you know you need to live. I have no idea why your kid's a giant pain
mean?
In the butt. Has nothing to do with you. It must be all about her, clearly. So we do have a big lineup today. We got Tony Boselli coming up at 2:40 today. Pro Football Hall of Famer. Also, Jaguars radio analyst. We've got The Pulse with Chris at 3:40. We've got Pete Futek, college football news at 4. And then Albert Breer coming up at 5:20. Two of those are our Thursday regulars there. But, you know, we were going to talk about the Jacksonville game right off the rip here. And then came the latest... the latest bit of news on the Deshaun Watson, the latest lawsuit, which is that Tony Busby says that they're scheduled to meet within the NFL within the next 2 weeks. And there's also claims out there, and again, he said all this to Pro Football Talk, that the victim has video and witnesses. So if you thought that the next – this actually plays into the theory – that the problem is not just another round of lawsuit and allegations, these even more heinous. It's also that you just never know when the next shoe is going to drop.
That's right.
Or when the next piece of information is going to come out. And today, it once again hijacked any conversation about Deshaun.
It just feels like to me, as this week has gone on, Nick, and as more information has been revealed, it just feels like to me, as somebody in the media and somebody who is also a Browns fan, that we're just never going to be done with the Deshaun Watson nonsense.
Yeah.
We're never going to be done with him having to answer questions about this. We're never going to be done with the allegations. And it's entirely his fault for putting himself in this situation. But it's just, it's exhausting. And I can only imagine how his teammates feel. I can only imagine how Kevin Stefanski feels. At some point, I just want Kevin Stefanski to be able to show how great of a coach he is and not deal with all the nonsense that he's had to deal with since becoming head coach of the Browns and Deshaun Watson coming aboard.
I think if you heard Kevin yesterday, you did hear... He was not exasperated, but he was definitely to a point where you could tell he's like... It's a Wednesday before a game,
right?
And now I have to talk about this.
Right, we're coming off a bad loss against Dallas. We're playing against a pretty good team. It's going to be their home opener. We're going on the road, and now I got to deal with this.
Well, and you know, listen, talent deficiencies cost you some wins in 2022.
Mm.
There's no way that you can convince me otherwise that the circus of moving on from Baker, trading for Deshaun, the summer of Sue Robinson, into the preseason, into the regular season, being asked about Deshaun constantly. There's no way you can convince me that that didn't cost you a few games. And so in a way, that was a organizational test of leadership in that locker room too, not just organizationally. Mm-hmm. And you can make a case that they failed because the noise was too much to ignore.
Yeah.
That is a real concern now. And something that, like, if we're going to go two updates a week about the latest lawsuit on Deshaun, you can't tell me that this isn't going to maybe cost you games or cost you focus.
Sure.
Because it is inescapable.
Right.
It really is. Like, and I'm not just saying from the fan side of things. The conversation will be inescapable for Cleveland Browns players. And that, if they end up winning 12 games in spite of, that's almost what it feels like. They're going to have to win in spite of all the latest circus here.
Right. And that's the thing, Nick. It's not manufactured drama, right? It's not media creating this sort of thing. It's something real that this organization has to constantly navigate.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be problematic. And it has been problematic. And it has been a distraction. I know people say, oh, how could you really be distracted by something like this? Just a few questions coming your way. It's just, where does your mental bandwidth go? You know what I mean? And there's only so much room for so many things. And when this occupies some portion of that, it is detrimental to the health of the team, to the health of the organization, and to their ability to focus on the main thing. Because like we've talked about in the past, everybody's human, everybody has their own emotions, everybody handles things a certain kind of way. But this is a real thing that this organization and no other organization in the NFL has to deal with on a daily basis.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing about that is, you know, they're football players. Yeah, that's not a real response
right.
to, you know, because they're also humans.
They're
so
human.
If you're a Cleveland Browns fan who every time the latest with Deshaun comes up, if you feel conflicted or turned off or I don't, you know, like how can I be a Browns fan in spite of Deshaun Watson? If you've juggled that for 2+ years, especially now that it's reconfigured and it's out here again and now... I mean, if you've read, and I guarantee you dudes in that locker room have also read the transcript of what the allegations are.
Right.
You can't tell me that these human beings aren't going to be having conversations about it, aren't going to be, you know, and I know they have their own relationship. They have the benefit that we don't.
Yes.
Which is they have their own relationship with Deshaun to help them make their decision. But, you know, I think sometimes we slough off the idea of distractions and whether or not they impact teams' ability to win.
Of course they
and
do.
It's because it can't be tabulated in a box score.
Right.
Right? But like...
And how do you quantify
it? Yeah. And it's different for every organization because
that's right.
every organization handles it. But I think the one thing, and I've said this a couple times this week, the one real concern I have with Kevin is because he isn't a rah-rah guy, which is totally fine. Not everybody has to be Mike Vrabel as much as blue collar folks like it. You don't have to be.
Right.
But that is the kind of guy who helps you most in these kind of situations. So you were hoping to outlast the PR roar of the Deshaun situation, and now two of the last three seasons have been impacted by this for a guy who I'm not saying he's a bad leader. I'm saying different types of leadership allow you different types of success in different types of situation. So that is another concern I have without trying to make this like, oh, Kevin Stefanski or anything like that.
And now, Nick, you have to start wondering about, is a suspension coming? When is a suspension coming?
Yep.
Because when this first broke, one of the things that I was wondering was, okay, the accuser of this, are they going to cooperate with the NFL?
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to be a part of this investigation? And what else is there to this particular story? And when you talk about having pertinent video, that could be damning.
Mm-hmm.
And when you talk about an accuser willing to meet with the NFL because they have such, they believe they have such a strong case and they believe that that's the right thing to do, that starts to make me think, okay, a suspension is a real possibility out of this.
Well, and the allegations that you have witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, because by the way, this is now a civil lawsuit.
Right.
But there's a lot to that can come out of here if there is a is if there's an overwhelming preponderance of evidence, which we haven't said in about 2 years. So I think, you know, at no point do you feel better about this. And I think it's been hinted that and maybe said on our airwaves by guests. And I'm gonna you know bleep out the name here because I can't remember this exactly what they said. But if Deshaun does settle it before the NFL investigates and interviews Tony Busby and Jane Doe, mm-hmm. that actually might make this go away.
Mm.
And so that makes it, like, it, again, there just seems to be, like, a moral quagmire after moral quagmire after moral quagmire, and it's going to be a very tense few weeks here. And you pointed to the idea of a suspension. And we're going to throw this out, 216-474-0092. At Nick Wilson says, at Chris Fedor, social media reactions on X powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store, which is, if Deshaun is suspended again, is that it? Because I think I know what most Browns fans are going to say, but I think it's not as easy as a yes or no question. We'll get into that, guys. As we mentioned, we got Tony Boselli, Pro Football Hall of Fame offensive tackle, Jags radio analyst. We will actually talk about this Jacksonville game and the stakes for the Cleveland Browns. Yesterday I said it's tough to call it a must win because it's week two, but I don't know there's a team in the NFL that could use the positive momentum of a win more than the Cleveland Browns. The Pulse with Chris at 3:40, Pete Futek of College Football News coming up at 4 o'clock, the 5 at 5 predictably at 5, and Albert Breer of the MMQB coming up at 5:20. But if you're just joining us, the latest in the latest Deshaun Watson lawsuit is that Tony Busby, the lawyer for the alleged victim, says they will meet with the NFL in 2 weeks, and there is a claim that the victim has a video and witnesses that will back up their claims against Deshaun Watson, which brings us to that point. If Deshaun is suspended, is that it for Deshaun? Whether that's in Cleveland, yet again, we have to give you the update that Tony Busby claims that he will be, he and Jane Doe, the latest accuser for Deshaun Watson, will be interviewed in 2 weeks by the NFL and claiming there is video and two witnesses to corroborate their claims. So that's that. And it really does. What's so unpredictable about this, Chris, is just before we get into the question that we asked everybody, which is if Deshaun is suspended again, is that it?
Mm-hmm.
Is that this thing could literally end tomorrow with a settlement. And I think the expectation is the NFL would call off their investigation at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Or this thing could escalate in 2 weeks when Busby and the accuser meet with the NFL, and then that could be the month of October for us.
The other layer to this is that the NFL can kind of do its own thing here, independent of what happens with this case.
Yeah.
They could look at it, and they can determine some level of punishment based on their own bylaws.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the other variable that's very difficult to predict.
I think the rush is, and I'm seeing it on my social media feed, I'm sure you are too, is to say, well, yeah, of course he's done if he gets suspended again.
Right.
And I don't mean this in a way that says I want them to move on from Deshaun yet, because I think we got to get there. You know, I don't think we're there yet.
Okay.
And there's a lot that goes into it on and off the field. But I think it's as easy if he gets suspended, he's gone, because we got to find out what the NFL believes with this contract and whether this is considered a new instance. And that, you know, there is a suspension could happen, but if this is treated as part of the original thing,
mm-hmm.
okay, then you probably don't have an out in that contract.
Yeah.
And there's no getting around that contract. That's the only way this ends, is if they find a way to get out of that contract scot-free. That's the key determinant here, not whether Deshaun gets suspended again or not.
Could they choose? Do you think the Browns could choose just to end this relationship? even if it doesn't mean him off of the team.
So like the what Houston did in his last year there. So basically, he's on the roster, but he's not around the team.
Yeah, stay away.
The
J.R. Smith Cavs thing.
Yeah, but that would be, what, 2 years?
Yeah, I mean, that's a long time. 2.5 years. It's a long time, and not that he would have a choice in this situation, but I don't think it's something that he would willingly choose to have happen. Like, just his career being put on pause.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how this is going to play out when it comes to Deshaun and when it comes to the Browns. I don't feel like, no matter what way I look at an exit strategy, I just don't feel like very many of them are realistic and viable.
It certainly feels that way. Yeah, I agree.
I mean, if you're exiling him for half a season, that's one thing. A couple years, a little bit different. And then you can sit there and you can say, well, just move on from him and then draft another young guy. Okay, then you still have and keep him on the roster or something like that because you don't want to eat that salary. Okay, then you still have a negative asset swallowing up that much of your cap situation. Is that really a viable exit strategy? Is that the kind of situation that you want another young quarterback to go into and feel comfortable in and be maximized in? I don't think so.
I think that's the most likely scenario, what you just said there.
I know, but it's so uncomfortable for whoever it is that they would bring into that situation.
I hear you 100%. So I think what you're pointing at is there's no real good resolution.
Like, and sometimes you just have to take the best of a bad choice.
Yep. And I think what makes it interesting is, you know, there's already 230 million pieces of pressure on Deshaun to get this right. And there's 2+ years of football of pressure, and the fan base and the media and the scrutiny and all this is now ramping up again. I didn't possibly think coming off the Dallas game we could turn the heat and turn up the importance of Deshaun playing well in a game again. And for a lot of people out there, I do understand that good football is only going to go so far.
Right.
But, man, I had open runway with Deshaun. You know what? By Philly is when I need to see you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you got till Philly. And I'm not talking about his job. I'm talking about his career. Like, the sooner this guy has a Deshaun Watson game, the better for him just to take any of this pressure off. Because the longer you live in it, and I think he learned this the first time, the longer you live in it, the worse it's going to be. And I don't know anybody. I know there have been instances, but this is as much as anyone's needed a win in terms of Deshaun by playing good football that I can possibly remember, with all the stakes, with the fan pressure, the media pressure, the legal pressure, with all of it. If you don't have a good game this week, man, and you go into the Giants game, it's only going to amplify and amplify, especially the closer you get to this potential interview between Busby and the alleged victim.
And that's the thing, Nick. Like, you're right. There's so much time remaining in the season, so you've got that conversation. And you don't want to panic based on 1 week in the NFL, because we've seen so many times teams struggle in week one and then be able to turn it around and look completely different from week one to week two. So there is that side of it, and that puts it in perspective, and it's a logical way to think. But then there's the other side of this that is like almost unprecedented when it comes to a level of pressure, a level of expectation, a level of chaos around a team. Which is what the Browns are dealing with right now. And I just wonder in my own head, you know, if this team doesn't win this weekend against Jacksonville, and this is not a layup. This isn't the Giants, right? This isn't the Las Vegas Raiders. This is a playoff caliber-ish team that is playing its home opener, that is coming off a really impressive performance against the Miami Dolphins. that is going to be playing in the heat that maybe the Browns aren't necessarily used to, that can give them a little bit of an advantage. So when you factor those things into it, if the Browns don't win this weekend, what happens?
The Browns going down south to Jacksonville in a game that they are underdogs. I believe the line opened up at 3.5 points. Going to the Jacksonville Jaguars and to talk Jags football. This game, a lot of fun stuff here. Finally, we can talk football with Tony Boselli, Pro Football Hall of Fame, offensive tackle, Jags radio analyst on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Tony, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
It is. It's good to have you here. And, you know, specific to this game, Jacksonville really didn't play that bad in week one, even though they took the L. Where is this team early in this season as you get ready for this game?
Well, I think there's a lot of frustration because they've lost 6 of the 7 games after being 8-3 in right on, you know, last year on the verge of having a chance to, you know, even capture a number one seed, and they end up missing the playoffs. And so all that led to a bunch of high hopes and saying, hey, we need to, you know, we need to finish, we need to overcome adversity, so on and so forth. And then you have the opening game where for 3 quarters, I mean, you're getting ready to go up 24-7, end of the third. And you have a bad play, ETN fumbles, and it just crumbles from there. And I think there's a lot of frustration saying, you know, why can't we finish? We need to finish games. We need to be able to, you know, overcome adversity. And every game's a big game in the NFL every week. But this has turned into a really big home opener for this team to get back on track because they feel like they're a much better team than they finished last year. And they're a much better team than they played opening day out down in Miami.
What do you think of the rebrand Trevor Bank Stadium for the home opener?
Yeah, I'm sure Everbank's probably not happy about that. I think they pay a lot of money to have their name on that stadium. I'm sure.
So,
Trevor has to play well. There's no doubt about it. But he doesn't need any added pressure. He already got his big contract. I don't think he needs his name on the stadium.
So with that, there was generational hype when he came out. There is Trevor Bank. I'm just curious, like, why to this point, under Doug Peterson, has Trevor not ascended to a level in what has been a little bit more consistent than obviously that first year of his career with Urban?
Well, you know, listen, there's a long list of reasons and excuses and everything else, but the bottom line is Trevor needs to take his game to the next level where I think everyone, you know, I'm a big believer in Trevor, you know, where he's in that upper echelon of quarterbacks. Now, if you take a step back and just take the emotion out of it and look at the situation, you know, year one throwaway, Urban Meyer disaster. Had a good second year, first year in Doug's system. Last year they started well. They were 8-3 under him. And then the injury bug went crazy, and he got hit a lot, and he got injured. He had a shoulder, he had a knee, he had an ankle. I mean, the guy was, and he sucked and fought through it, but it impacted his play overall and they had a bunch of injuries on the offensive line as well. They couldn't protect him. So, you know, all those things, you know, yes, you can either look at those as excuses or part of the reason he hasn't put up the numbers that he should have. And the first half of last week, he was dynamic. They were great, moving the ball down the field, even through the first 3 quarters, and then it was just stalled out. And they were very conservative running the ball. They thought they could run the ball better in the fourth quarter. They didn't get that done. So, it, like everything, it's never one thing. You guys know this. You cover this game a long time. It's never one thing in football. But at the end of the day, it's on the onus and the responsibility is on the player. Your best players have to play great. And that's what the expectations of Trevor Lawrence are.
You know, Tony, this past weekend, the Browns offense just couldn't function against the Cowboys. And, you know, a lot of fans here are saying, well, you know, coming in this week, they don't have to deal with Michael Parsons. They don't have to deal with Dexter Lawrence. They don't have to deal with that Dallas defense and that Dallas secondary. So what are the Browns up against when it comes to this Jaguars, D?
Yeah, I don't think they have a Michael Parsons, but they got two really good defensive ends in Josh Hines-Allen and Trayvon Walker. Those are two guys who get after the quarterback. Eric Armstead, you know, 10-year vet coming from San Francisco. He plays inside, outside. He had a sack and played well week one against the Dolphins. He's another pass rusher. So, I mean, the offensive line better be ready. They got some big physical guys. They added speed on the back half. they lost their number one corner in Tyson Campbell, who's going to be out for probably 4 weeks with a hamstring. But they're big. They got some big physical guys, and they can get after it a little bit. And it's a group that feels like they underperformed week one, and that they need to pick it up. So there is a fire, under everyone's backside in that organization right now, and they got talent, and so it'll be interesting to see how they respond.
Hall of Famer Tony Boselli and Jags radio analyst on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So obviously, week one didn't go well for the Browns. There's another off the field issue with Deshaun Watson. I'm just curious, how do you feel about this game with the Jags matching up against this Browns team?
I mean, I like the matchup. I mean, listen, if you just look at it, at what the Browns are, they are a very good defense and an offense that can't function right now. Mm-hmm. And you can argue why they don't function. They've lost, their two tackles, a lot of injuries up front. Great. Their number one back, Nick Chubb, out. Okay, great. But at the end of the day, it's about the quarterback. I mean, you guys paid $250 million guaranteed to a guy that you expected to go be that guy, and he has not done it yet. Now, is that because he's getting too much pressure? Whatever the reason is, it doesn't really matter. He's got to play better for that offense to function. Now, defensively, this Cleveland team is special because I believe they have the best defensive player in football in Myles Garrett. And so they got a bunch of good, physical, get-after-you type of guys. And so I think the Browns, as I look at this game from the Jaguars' perspective, is like, just don't turn the ball over. Don't give that offense any short fields. Don't, allow them to have any easy points. And if you do that and play smart, I don't think the Browns can outscore the Jaguars in this game. I think it's a low-scoring game because I think it's going to be hard to move the ball against that defense. But based on what I've seen so far, it's a small sample size, and the Cowboys are very good, no doubt about it. I think the Browns are going to struggle to score, until they protect better and the quarterback plays better.
Tony, you've watched Deshaun Watson for a long time now. How different is the Deshaun that you're seeing here in Cleveland from the guy that you saw in Houston, and what theory do you have on why that's happened?
Well, it's much different. It's hard to measure the magnitude of difference, but it's not hard to figure out why. The guy basically sat out 2 years of football. Like, just tell me the number of guys have sat out the game for 2 years and came back and were the same player. Mm. I mean, and at that position, it's tough. And that, coupled with all the off-field issues this guy has, and they're back out there now with another allegation. I'm not weighing in whether it's true or not. I have no idea. But that's a lot. And to play this game, especially in the quarterback position, you got to be singularly focused on playing the game. That's what all the great ones have been able to do. Prepare yourself, focus, lead, focus on the game. That's your whole life during the season. And this is a guy who has a lot going on and sat out and missed a lot of football. So I think that's why you're not seeing the same player that we saw early in his career in Houston.
Tony, were you ever in a locker room dealing with a distraction to the level of what the Browns are dealing with again with Deshaun's off-the-field accusations and lawsuits and what they did 2 years ago?
Have I ever played with a guy who's been accused by 20 women?
No, I meant more.
Yeah, no, I have not. My point is the level of distraction is high. Like, there's only a few. Think about across the history of this league, I'm trying to think of, there's a handful of situations like this where it's like that was the story in the NFL for a long time, which meaning was the story in Cleveland and the story in that locker room. And right when you thought it was over, you got through the suspension last year, so on and so forth, and everything else. He gets hurt. That's not great. Okay, let's get through that. I got to imagine you're believing. As a player, as an organization, coach, everybody, he's like, okay, that is all behind us. Let's just go play football now. Mm-hmm. Let's get the Deshaun Watson we traded for. We got a talented defense. Let's go play football. And now for this to pop up, another woman making an accusation of some sort of sexual assault or whatever happened, it just is like, I got to believe everyone in that locker room, the organization's going, are you kidding me? We're going to go through this circus and this kind of media scrutiny again? It's tough, but as a player, he's got to, you know, speak in as a guy. Everyone else in that locker room besides Deshaun just got to say, listen, we can't control that. Mm-hmm. But we just got to go play and, you know, do whatever, you know, support the guy or whatever you have to do. But we got to go do our jobs because this thing's going to keep on going. I mean, the NFL season's going to keep on going. The Deshaun's off-the-field stuff will take a life of its own. But if we start worrying about that, we have no chance to have success on the field. So it takes extra discipline, but it's hard. I've never in my career been around. I mean, you have distractions. You have guys get in trouble. Mm-hmm. Guys do stuff. Things come up. But not to this level where it is the story. It was the story in the NFL. And all of a sudden, you think it's gone, and all of a sudden it looks like it's kind of coming back.
Do you believe Deshaun can ever be the guy that the Browns believed they traded for?
Boy, this is like hard-hitting, like tough. I wonder if I should give my presidential debate answer and just not answer the question, or do I actually answer that? That's a dangerous one.
We will accept I do not recall.
I can't remember.
You know, I'm not sure. You know, I was playing football back in the sixth grade. I don't know. Let me put it this way. I don't want to ever bet against somebody. Cause like when people bet against me, I'm like, okay, I'll go show you. And right. I think the human will, and I mean, there's a reason Deshaun got to the level he was, a quality player. There's obviously a drive and a competitiveness, and I will never discount that in an individual, but I'll say this. I think it's an uphill battle.
Tony, great stuff. Really appreciate you. Outside of this weekend, best of luck, best of health, buddy.
Hey, you guys too. I hope you guys have a great year up there. Besides this week, I hope you guys take another L. But after that, have a great year. I'll say this. Cleveland is a great sports town with great fans. And anytime you have that combination, I always root for those teams outside of when they play my Jaguars.
Very nice thing to say. We appreciate you, buddy.
All right, guys.
Tony Boselli there on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.